Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Jack, King, Queen, yeah. White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance, and this is Tom Metzger. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker right here in north central Indiana where it's still wet for some more rain, but we're going to have a sunshiny day today. Got the lawn mowed yesterday. Man, it looks like a golf course out there. I'm thinking of renting it out for a golf course. Hey, we're right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station where we sell Ethel and Standard all the time. You can't get it anyplace else. And then we got the Weapons of Mass Destruction immense yard out here with all kinds of tanks, half tracks, you name it, bulletproof vehicles. And you get on down here with your 18-wheeler while it's still warm because it's going to get colder than a witch's tit this winter, I hear. I sent out the weather report yesterday to you guys, and it looks pretty bad, pretty dismal. It looks like we're going to have another winter like last winter. I may have to bail out of here for a while. I don't know, but I hear somebody trudging up the lane here. Knocking on the door. Come on in. Well, there he is. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, straight from Illinois. Slingblade. Good morning, Slingblade. What's happening?
Good morning. Hey, you know those weapons of mass destruction you have and all those tanks and stuff? Why don't you sell all that stuff to ISIS? Because us CIA trained them and funded them, and the Saudi Arabian family funded them and all that shit. You can help out in a big cause there.
How do you think they got their weapons? I mean, you know, I'm way ahead of you, man. They bought me out here, and I had to rush out and get the Chinese to gather me up some more stuff and bring it over here. Yeah, well, you know why they're giving all this stuff to the cops, don't you? Because they want to get rid of all that surplus so they can manufacture some more and charge the government more money. So, and keep all these people.
I believe that's the reason. But I also believe that they want to militarize the cops even more and really blur that line of distinction between the military and the police.
Well, I can tell you, I could see if that goes through, keeps going like that, there's going to be a lot of dead cops. There may be a lot of dead civilians, but there's going to be a lot of dead cops.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the mindset of guys who are in law enforcement now is that they're being taught to have an us against them mentality, like the civilians are like an enemy force, and like we're like, you know, they're in an occupied country or something.
Yeah, but look at the quality they've got to pick from. You see, the total physical and mental abilities of the even the white youth has dropped so much that
right.
You see these cops, most of them are overweight, and they're not that, they don't know the law. Well, number one thing that a lawyer told me once, always remember, Tom, cops don't know the law. They know a couple that they have to deal with all the time. You know, they know the speeding laws, they know all that kind of stuff. But the important laws that have anything to do with your freedom of speech or anything, or assembly or anything, they don't know that shit. They're not lawyers.
Hmm.
So that's why you.
Yeah.
You just say, okay, fine. Call my lawyer. We'll go to court and go to trial, and we'll see what happens. And the minute you say that, most of the shit's dropped. I've had several situations like that where I said, you know, take your best shot. I mean, you know, you want to charge me, but I'll tell you one thing, the DA is not going to file on it. He's not going to carry through because it's going to cost him more money than it's worth for nothing.
Well, all I know is in the late 90s, I tested for the DuPage County Sheriff's, and I remember the testing day. I remember it started at 8 in the morning, and it didn't finish till like a little after 4 in the afternoon, and there was no lunch break, no break at all, just one multiple test after another. And all of them were psych eval, you know, like, questions like, I like being the center of attention, yes, no, you know, just all that psychological shit. They have the testing so fine-tuned now that they know exactly what type of personality type they want.
Yeah,
and they know how to find it through the testing.
Yeah, but when you know testing and you know psychiatry and all that kind of stuff, you know how to beat that stuff, and you lie. You tell them what they want to hear, and you could be totally opposite. You could be a mad psychopath, and you're smarter than they are on the test. Just lie to them. Anyhow,
yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we need more people like that.
But did they have you drop your drawers?
No, I didn't go through any. I didn't make it that far in the thing.
Well, you know why that is.
But one guy was telling me, one guy who I knew was a DuPage County Sheriff, he said that when, you know, when they're doing the, like, you look at certain shapes and colors and you try to kind of match them with, you got to match them with something. When you pick a lot of the red stuff, that shows that you have aggression in you, and I guess that looks good.
Well, that ought to get you the job right off, because they want aggressive cops.
No, they do. They want trigger-happy, aggressive cops who are going to, keep the populace in fear. That's the whole thing. That's why you hear all this shit about the next nuclear war is going to, you know, ISIS is going to smuggle a nuke across the border, that the borders are wide open. They want to keep us in fear.
Well, they want aggressive cops give the cops a break here, is that... who are you going to get to go down dark alleys in Niggertown, you know, or the where MS-13 is at? Who are you going to get to go down those neighborhoods? I saw one movie, and I forget, it was a really great movie. These two white guys, or white guy and I think a light Mexican, was put over in the barrio in L.A.
Oh, no, that movie, End of Watch, I saw that.
That was a great movie, because the people there were armed to the teeth with every sophisticated weapon, and these guys were going up against them. They didn't even have shotguns, you know. So, but they got to have, in those situations, they got to have aggressive cops, because they're in a battle zone. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, but here we go. Here we go again. It's week number three or whatever, you know, and it just brings me right back to Hegelian dialectic.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is what they want.
Jesus,
this is not like this is not some unintended consequence, Tom. This is what they want.
Well, we want it too. Why wouldn't we want a civil war among races and so forth? I mean, what have we got to gain by the present system? And name me one thing that we have as white separatists. What do we have to gain by the present system?
The problem is this, and then, you know, like I said before, I'm all about, you know, bring down the existing order, and the only way to do that is through chaos or whatever. But the thing is, though, the people who deserve it the most, they will be sheltered from it.
Well, okay, but the problem is this kind of a circular argument doesn't get anywhere. It's sort of like standing in a circle and shooting at the guy in the middle. You can't win this argument, because the other side's always smarter. They never make mistakes, and we've had it, and it's all over, and forget it, and like that. And I don't buy that, because there are too many variables in unconventional warfare that are beyond their control. I mean...
you were telling me about this book, Low Intensity Conflict.
Yeah, what they're using, this, they've dusted it off, and they're using it in the Middle East, where they're creating their own enemy to neutralize a real enemy. So they get Al-Qaeda. In other words, we build Al-Qaeda, you know that, and
right.
With our money and our arms and everything else. And then they decide we don't want Al-Qaeda, so they create ISIS, you know, to neutralize Al-Qaeda and all the little guys, and then they'll create another group to take the place of ISIS.
But the thing is, they're going to use ISIS as an excuse to invade Syria somehow, take out Assad. Because Assad's not playing ball. He's not going along with the globalists, you know, and the international bank. And, you know, somebody said the other day that we haven't gone to war with any country that has a central bank. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't cover it, take that close attention to that. But I'll say that ISIS is something that can get away from them, of us, because the fanaticism of the people involved is kamikaze. It's Genghis Khan on the hoof. Every time I see things about ISIS, I think of Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun. No, Genghis Khan. So anyhow, these guys play with fire. They don't. These capitalist corporation guys, they don't realize a lot of times what they're playing with, and they think they've got everything under control, and they haven't had anything under control since they've been in the Middle East. What have they had under control? I mean, we've lost.
Yeah, but, you know, you just described it. I mean, you just backed up my own argument when you said that that they create their own enemies. And a lot of times they'll create a they'll use that same stuff against us. Like, there was a news clip in Ferguson and all that, the big uprising with the black teenager that was shot and stuff. There was somebody that was walking with a sign in back of this one guy that was being interviewed, and they said, ISIS is here. So, you know, it's like they're all in our face with it. They want us to be afraid.
That's
when the mind's in fear, if the mind cannot grow.
That's just nigger bravado of ISIS is here. ISIS don't work that way. Al-Qaeda worked that way if they had the balls to come here, which they never really did. There are plenty of radical Islamics in this country that aren't doing a damn thing. They could have been doing hellish things. I mean, the things.
Wait. You don't think there's sleeper cells in this country?
Yeah,
we're just laying low for now.
Yeah, like our people are sleeper cells. They're all asleep. I mean, you know, sleeper cells. You got to wake up and do something, you know. So anyhow,
right.
if they were going to do anything, they'd have done it a long time ago. Christ Almighty! I mean, there's a million ways to set this place on fire and wreck the railroads and wreck communications and wreck the power grid and all that. They could have done all that with just a handful of guys, you know, and a fast car.
Tommy, but think about this though. Now. I was thinking about this the other day. Now, just hear me out on this. Really listen to what I'm about to say. When they had all these Palestinian immigrants going over to Australia, a number of years ago, you had this guy on Australia calling. He does radio shows for you, whatever.
Right.
He was talking about the race riots that were over there. And our media picked up on as all these filthy white races, what it was, these Palestinians were gang raping white girls over there. They do this shit in countries where they know the populace is not armed. They haven't done that over here because they know there's too many white guys with guns in this country.
Yeah, well, the whites could rise up in Australia and wipe these people out in 24 hours, and they don't need guns. I mean, you know, there's other kinds of weapons they could use, even machetes, but the point is that they weren't going after the infrastructure of Australia, were they? They come over.
No.
They get a snoot full.
No,
they watch Playboy magazine and drink a fifth of whiskey, and they say, forget all about Islam. We want the women. We want the booze. We want the money. We want to get into narcotics. We want to, you know, get a network going, and we want to get rich. The minute these guys get into the Western countries, they take on the worst habits of the Western people. I mean, you know, hardly.
I think even here's the right. I think that it was just one more non-white group that comes into the Western countries that want to undermine it.
Well, they don't need to undermine it. It's undermining itself. I mean, how much?
Yeah, that's true.
How much undermining do we need? But anyhow, I'm just saying that Al-Qaeda, for all the bravado they had over there, and the things some of the things they may have done, it may have been our CIA too, after they bombed that ship over there, and even after the USS Liberty, things like that, which they didn't do, that was Israelis. But even then, I mean, you know, they come over here and their sleeper cells. Well, shit, I mean. What kind of sleeper cells are they? I mean, you know, it's unconventional warfare and guerrilla warfare and mass destruction of the infrastructure is easy. And the more complicated, the more sophisticated, the more computerized it is, the easier it is. And these guys,
right.
they haven't done anything. I mean, you know, the FBI, they were so bad that the FBI had to set up some things to make it look like they were doing something. I mean, some guy in Times Square with a funny little bomb with a you know, wick on it.
So you do agree that the government does set up things to make it look like there's a problem.
Well, of course. They've done it with us over the years. They've taken wacko right-wing Hollywood Nazis and get them to do something crazy. just to make us look bad, to where the public don't want to have anything to do with us. I mean, no, that's just that tactic's as old as time itself. And so all systems do that. The kings did it. The queens did it. Everybody's done that. I mean, you know, I mean, if I could be perfectly honest, if I could save the white race by setting something up like that and then make sure it looks like the government, well, that'd probably be worthwhile doing.
Which is?
Whatever.
What you just described is this problem-reaction-solution formula.
It's the Hegelian dialectic, man. I got that now. I got that. Can we go on? I got that Hegelian stuff. I talked to a nigger friend of mine. He says, "What's that Hegelian stuff?" I said, "Well, that's a crazy guy over there in Illinois. He's into this Hegelian dialect." You know, what that mean, man? I said, "Well, it means we just use funny methods to stomp the shit out of the other guy." And the nigga said, "Well, you explain it right. I understand that." So we, yeah, you know, sometimes I got to get down and dirty talking to my Negro friends. But one thing I like about the Negroes, you can talk to them at a basic level. You don't have to use a bunch of fancy words. I got my Hegelian dialectic. They say, "I got you."
I don't say. Because that's exactly what it is. He was the first guy to come up with that kind of thing.
They pull out a gun and say, "Here's your Hegelian dialectic." Bam, bam. So I do like their directness of many blacks. You know, of course they make them more that way in the movies. But anyhow.
Yeah, but back to this low intensity conflict thing. So what else is that thing talking about?
Wait a minute. I'm not sure whether my goddamn thing is working here. It said something quit. But let me see here. This is what pisses me off. Okay, well, I've got it on my other one here. So, okay, well, let's go on. I don't know what the hell's happening to me. When I can hear you okay and everything like that.
As long as it's being recorded.
Well, I've got one definitely recording it, and the other one should be recording it, but something came on and said something shut down. That's a goddamn Microsoft 8. I hate it. We got this on this new computer. There's always something weird happening with it. So anyhow, where were we?
Well, you were talking about that low-intensity conflict thing. It sounds very interesting.
Well, it came out, I guess, way back there. I don't remember when he wrote the book, but I can find out. I think it was World War II or before, and the British used.
Oh, no. It can't be that old, is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's showbiz.
Yeah, but that's it sounds like some very interesting reading.
So haggle me some more, my friend. Let's go.
So I mean, this thing is just played out. I'm sorry, but I'm not saying I have their playbook and I can call all their plays, but it just seems so obvious to me that there are people in power who want to just end the United States. We know it. You know, they just, yeah, you got fucking King George III during our revolution who pledged eternal war against the United States because we supposedly won the revolution, but I don't believe we ever got out from under the British crown. That's my honest opinion.
Well, no, we never got out from under the Bank of England, and that's... Now they call it the City of London, but you see, that was what the War of 1812 was about, it was Jackson, was it? Or who was it? Who was president? I forget.
I think it was Madison, but that's because we didn't renew the charter to our bank.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't because the British were fucking with our shipping, isn't that? We didn't renew the charter to the bank, and then therefore England went to war against, or England sent their troops over here.
Yeah, it was
the British people. The British people are clueless. They don't know what's going on, just like the Americans.
Calm down. They did it as a punishment, and they burned down the Capitol. That technically that was smart on their part, because that got the message across real quick, like Hitler should have done in the East. He should have gone straight to Moscow and either burn it down or just taken it over, you know, instead of farting around losing the war in Stalingrad. Well, anyhow.
No, there should never been a fucking war. That's my main contention against Hitler. I believe his mission was to destroy Germany.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't his intention, he sure did a good job of it.
Exactly.
And that's why now we've got a bunch of these yahoo Hollywood Nazis from England and from Norway and from Sweden that are the Hitler worshippers, and the right wing loves them, and they're going down there to Ukraine, and they're fighting on the side of the Ukrainian and the Kiev government, which is directly controlled by the EU, the Jews,
right,
and the Western corporations against the...
Thank you. This is the type of stuff that I want you to acknowledge. You're actually doing a good job waking up to who's running the show. Wait a minute, though. Give yourself a pat on the back.
I can't reach my back. No, I'm kidding. Anyhow, I had to debate a little bit on the internet with these guys, because there's a Russian on there and there's guys from different countries, and they're talking about it. They're saying how wonderful the Russian militia is for fighting in the East, and then the other guys are saying they're on the Ukrainian side. And so here's these so-called stupid neo-Nazis. They're not National Socialists. They are neo-Nazis. Down there, like a bunch of skinheads with guns, and they're actually working for the Jews in Kiev. I mean, you know, and working for the corporations, working for the EU, the very worst people to be working for. In other words,
right.
Like I said, I'm more inclined to support the Russian position than of course, the Kiev position, but... I don't want to get in bed with the Russian hierarchy system either. I mean, I'm saying that they have the moral high ground because they're interested in Russian people who live in the Ukraine.
Right.
I think Russia should have taken the Ukraine back a long time ago and just, you know, taken care of it.
Yeah, I mean, their languages are very similar. They're basically the same people. You know,
well, you got to remember,
I mean, they're very similar.
You got to remember one thing: Ukraine was set up at one time to expel all the Jews into the Ukraine. So there must be a lot of Jews still there, unless they got all wiped out in World War II. Of course, the SS probably killed a lot of them.
So I think the corporations want to take over the Ukraine because they have all that farmland. I know Monsanto wants a big chunk of that farmland over there for to grow GMOs in Europe.
Well, they got a lot more than that. They got mining. They got all kinds of stuff over there. So it's always the big corporations and who owns and who the shareholders are in the corporations. I mean, that's a big part of the problem. And you know, our military is nothing but foot soldiers for the corporations. And they think they're going to nation build or protect our country, all that. That's all total bullshit. I mean, you know, but try to get that across to these flag-waving Middle Westerners. Well, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how dumb they are about international politics.
You're pretty much referring to the people that's in your area there, right?
Yeah, because I talk to them, I read the papers, I listen to their crazy-ass right-wing conservative radio shows, and all that. I mean, you just want to throw up your hands.
Have you noticed the right-wing conservative radio shows are just beating this war drum against Russia? In Palestine, we got to support Israel, and just, they're fucking so scripted.
Oh yeah, they really want to go after Russia. They've been wanting to go after Russia all along, and it can't be because they're in fear necessarily of Russia's immediate aggression. It has to do with the military-industrial complex. Of course, they're the most powerful thing in Washington, and those generals are like Dr. Strangelove in the movie. I mean, you know, they're crazy. half of them want to go to war tomorrow, any place. Just give us a war, man. I want a war. I ain't had a war in 6 months, man. I want to kill somebody, you know. They're crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they want the war, but they don't do none of the dying. That's why when I heard about that general being killed in Afghanistan, it kind of made me smile.
Yeah, it was a colonel, I think. I don't think he was a general, but I know.
Oh, they said it was the general. General Green, his name was.
Well, maybe I'm thinking.
He was a 2-star general.
Well, maybe he was. So anyhow, at last he gets it like the other grunts do on the front lines. So anyhow, their career is based on war, and however, there's a lot of military men that are logical and don't want to go to war, and they realize how bad it is. But there's a lot of them that are psychopaths, and they're going up to Obama all the time. Oh, you chicken shit! I mean, you know what? Oh, you're not going to get a Syria. You're not going to bomb a Syria. Oh, you're a chicken shit. You must be a communist. You know.
Right.
These kind of idiots, you know, and they're running the show. I mean, because they're the cat's paw of the big corporations. They need the military-industrial complex to occupy countries and steal their goodies.
Right.
Yeah. So anyhow,
you know who's a big war hawk in that shit is that Ralph Peters.
I'm not sure I know who he is.
Ah, you know who he is. I heard you and Walsh talking about him on a show one time. He wrote some book about something. Like, well, you know, that was kind of a good book. And, you know, I'm like, typical Tom Mester. Don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Ralph Peters? Who are you talking about? Ralph Peters? Come down
Ralph
off the...
Ralph Peters.
Calm down. Take a quaalude, man. I never heard of... I don't remember hearing of Ralph Peters.
Yeah, he's on Fox all the time, some military analyst.
Well, then all these retired generals and shit get on there. Oh, yeah, we got to stop it right now. If we don't get in there and get troops on the ground, all is lost. I mean, you know, the only way to have peace in the Middle East is bring everybody home. And don't ship them any weapons. They got enough weapons already. And just... bring everybody out of there, and anybody that stays there, they're at their own risk. If they get their heads chopped off, that's just too damn bad.
Yeah, you know, like that journalist that got his head lopped off. I mean, you know, personally, I really don't give a fuck what's going on over there. We got so many issues over here. Let those people handle their part of the world. Let us handle our part of the world.
Yeah, of course. That's the way it should be all the time. But see, it's meddling,
right.
And not meddling and occupying is always the game of systems. They always have to have an external enemy too. Washington's always got to have some bogeyman someplace that we can send troops.
And don't ever forget, Tom, that Hollywood always proceeds the military-industrial complex. So first they'll send in our movies for the cultural imperialism, so they can, you know, so we can get them to warm up to certain ideas, and then pretty soon we're bombing their fucking cities. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So
first we send Hollywood, then we send the military.
So there's nothing we can do about. So let's go on to something else. I thought. Now I watched some of that funeral of that young, nice, high school educated. Wonderful Negro yesterday, and I thought I saw you in that church over there. I saw a guy look just like you in the church where they're having the funeral. Was that you?
No, I didn't watch some of that funeral stuff. But have you been keeping tabs? Or if you watch any of your news, have you heard anything about the Little League World Series and the Jackie Robinson?
Oh yeah, they're all
baseball. This is exactly what I'm talking about, and this is what I'm trying to get across to people is nothing is popular in this country on its own. The media makes it popular, and people just follow along like goddamn drones.
Yeah, they're all black little boys, and they're so wonderful, and they're teaching other people how wonderful it is and all that kind of every day. They pounding this stuff into us 24/7. I mean, you know, every time you turn on the radio, you know, I had to totally quit listening to any of the progressive radio shows because sometimes they have some stuff that I can use, but they become totally useless because all they talk about is that Negro over there in Missouri. They go 24/7.
The Missouri thing?
Yeah. Some of these guys, some of these progressives, some of the stuff they get out on the environment and different things like that, and even like Malloy and some of these guys, they put out some good stuff on environment and the banks and all that kind of stuff. But when this happened, it was just like somebody threw a switch. Every progressive radio show in the country went, and of course the mainstream press too, went totally balls to the wall about this dead nigger over there in Missouri.
Tom, don't you see by now? See, here you're talking about the corporation of Ukraine, you're hitting home on. Don't you see that that is by design? That they have a script they have to follow. The right wing radio has a script, the left wing radio has a script. It's just two sides of the same coin controlled by the same master.
Well, I tend to think also, though, it's deep into the psyche of these people, it's in their subconscious. Very deeply embedded, that somehow they get totally into that, and nobody needs to tell them what to do. They know exactly what to do in any situation like that. I don't think somebody necessarily comes to the boss and says, well, now you got to do this. I think they want to do that. I think they're trained to do that. I think they're subconsciously prone to do that because they're into nigrophilia, and they're actually into the love of the Negro. I think they all want to be Negroes.
Well, you can't underestimate the power of the media and how, for lack of a better word, they have the power to brainwash people into believing certain things. And, you know, you have all these baseball teams, all these little league baseball teams, some were mixed race, some were all white, some were, yeah, you know, and I'm really glad the Japanese people won. Just so I can stop hearing about this shit.
Well, the point
they
is,
had this big parade. They had this big parade for them yesterday in Chicago. Like they were like the Cubs coming back from New York winning a World Series or something. It's just, I'm so glad I don't have a television. But when I was in someone else's home yesterday, and that's all that was on TV during the news hour.
Well, yes, absolutely. So we all know that. So what do we do about it? Everything we're talking
about. Here's the thing.
Wait a minute. You interrupt me too.
It is very hard for your average Joe out there to rebel against the system when all he has to go on, all he believes in, is the same shit that's on television.
Well, now that I can speak, I'm going to tell you. The average Joe can do quite a bit. He can monkey wrench. He can do all kinds of stuff. I do something every day other than this radio show. I don't just do this radio show. I do something every day. I either put out literature or I have my political sign that's lit 24 hours a day, change that message all the time. I talk to people and so forth like that. So, and even things like I get all these postage paid envelopes from companies that come in. And I get them all on the table, and I put resist.com on all of them, put them right back in the mailbox and go out. I'll bet you there isn't 1 in 100 of people who say they're white racial that'll do even simple things, like putting the telephone number on the pooper shithouse wall, or handing out a piece of literature, or anything, putting a little,
right,
putting a message machine on the internet, or putting up a website, or that's why we're not winning, is because all the people out there who supposedly understand the race issue are not doing anything. They just talk about the issue, you know, and that's what drives me
crazy. What I would not love to see some kind of sabotage shit happen to the TV stations.
Well, that's happened before. I mean, unless it happens on a massive scale, it doesn't change much. But I remember when the boys toppled the KNX radio tower in Torrance, California, which was only about a half a mile from my house. That was about 150 foot, I believe, tall transmitting tower, and they took it down, and KNX radio was off the air except for a small backup transmitter and antenna they had for weeks. So it's easy to do, but that's, of course, that's not the main way of communication anymore. But
That was when everything was analog. Now it's like digital, I guess. Would that be harder to do now?
Well, no. I mean, if they're operating by RF, and if they're operating with a radio transmitter and a tower, they used to mount those things on big glass insulators at the bottom. And all you had to do is go up with a sledgehammer and crack the shit out of that insulator, and the whole damn tower collapsed. So anyhow, that stuff would have been done by the Minutemen back in the day. It was an irritant, but it didn't make.
Wait! Done by the Minutemen or the Weathermen?
The Minutemen. It was the right wing. The right wing hated KNX Radio in L.A. because it was. Every liberal, all the pro left people use KNX.
Right.
KNX is still a very powerful station, and it's an all news station. But back then they had a lot of commentary, and they had all these commie pinko guys on there, and so evidently I can't prove it, and I don't want to prove it, but I think it was the Minutemen took that tower down. And we were all, the John Birch Society, we were all dancing in the streets. So anyhow.
But it was down for weeks then, huh?
Yes, it was, yeah. And, but now.
Wait, was that back in the 60s or 70s that happened?
That was back in the 60s, yeah.
Wow.
So somebody got the message. And, well, you know, people can get on CB radio and talk about race. They can get on pirate radio and talk about race. They can do, there's a million things low level that people can do, but they're not doing it. That's why I challenge these right wingers all the time. You just sit around and bullshit, talk to each other, and curse the Jews until your wife tells you to shut up, and that's the way it goes. They're not doing anything. So if all the people, since I've been in, been involved, would have done something physical every day, we would have power. We would have not the power, but we would have power. We have no power today because we don't look for power. We don't struggle for power. We don't do anything. You know,
right.
Like when I ran as a Democrat for Congress, I mean, you know, that was a big monkey wrench into the system. And, of course, the right wing never gave me credit for that at all. I mean, because they're too damn dumb. Well, why would you run as a Democrat? You're a bunch of communists, you know. I said, yeah, but that's where all a good share of the white working class and union guys are in the Democrat Party. And so that's how I got 60,000 votes there in the primary, and then 90-some thousand votes for U.S. Senate because I went out and did it. I can count the people on two hands that really supported me in either one of those campaigns. The right wing didn't do anything. Just a handful of people sent me some donations in the right wing. So the right wing is a total phony. The right wing is just like this book's talking about, low-intensity operation. They've constructed the right wing to make sure that no real legitimate program gets going. And they can...
Say that again?
I think the right wing has been a carefully constructed false flag operation from the word go. I'm not saying all the people in it were, of course. I wasn't. I was a true believer. But no, I believe it was set up specifically to do sometimes crazy things and everything so we could not get anywhere with any kind of real serious operations. And every time...
Right, lead it down blind alley so it doesn't get any action in this country.
Well, we had, when I ran for Congress, there was two other people running, one in Michigan, I think Covington ran in North Carolina for Secretary, Attorney General or something. But anyhow, at a time when if the right wing was going to make a move and put every dime they could into something, that would have been the time. Because I got all those votes spending less than 25 grand, you know?
Right.
But they didn't do it. The Willis Cardos, the David Dukes, none of them came out and really supported it. they not only didn't support me, they didn't support the other two guys. So that tells me that they're full of bullshit. They're either total phonies, which I've been saying they're phonies, or they're part of the false flag operation from word go.
I think you're on something there.
Well, like spending all their time in revision, all the time arguing about how many Jews died or if any Jews died or how they died and all that bullshit takes up all kinds of time. People write all kinds of books. People send in all kinds of money. Some people are driving around in new cars and living in big houses because they're making it off the revisionist thing. But that revisionist thing is a dry hole. Where are they going with that? What's going to happen? So what? So you say, it wasn't 6 million, it was only 480,000. Well, shit, the average person is going to say, well, 480,000, too many. I mean, you know, the average person is not going to say, oh, well, it was okay to kill 480,000 Jews in concentration camps, Jews that were middle and lower class, working class people that didn't have any control at all of what was going on in Germany.
Right.
You know, so that whole operation, I'm convinced, was a false flag thing. And I hate to get off on this World War II stuff, but the SS signed a deal with the Zionists. I mean, you know, they made a deal to work together, you know, and the whole bit. So it's all, so anyhow, that's what I'm saying. I accuse the leaders of the right wing and even the right wing racial cause and the revisionists of, whether they realize it or not, being false flag operations. And we can't get anything done until we go back to basics and build an Aryan socialist or a truly national socialist struggle based on race, period. And everything else is secondary. But
all right, Tommy, let me read you a quote here. Let me see what you think of it. This is a quote. Now, just listen to the whole thing, okay? It says, criminals literally live in the shadows. Think local street punks don't know what side of their favorite alley is in the shadow in the morning or in the afternoon. Think rapists don't know every deep shadow in a local parking garage, who shot out streetlight kids playing around with a BB gun, or professional burglars needing more dart in which to ply their craft. Just knowing, if you when you're in your area, you should know, everyone should know their area, where shadows are at certain points of the night. Like, you know, because if they don't, shadows will only change with the vibe and setting of the moon.
Well, we are human animals, and if we don't follow the rules of nature, then we're going to get it. I mean, you know, when I walk down a dark alley, I think, you know, like a cougar, a panther, or a lion, or a zebra, I'm watching out for the predators. They're all around. I mean, the jungle is everywhere. The North America is a jungle, and if you're so stupid as to not understand that and not follow the rules of Mother Nature, you're going to get it, and there's nothing that I or anybody else can do for you. But the real
wait a minute.
The real predators don't hide in the shadows. They're the Cheneys and the Bushes and all those guys. They're right out in the open. In the damn open. And people say, oh, I don't understand. Oh, I understand. You're afraid of them because they got the power. If you had any balls, you'd take care of the situation. The progressives whine day in and day out about the criminal Bush crime family and Cheney and all that, and I agree 100%. But has one of them done anything besides go outside Bush's house and demonstrate for a few months? That happened a few years ago. No. You know, so what good is all that anguish and, you know, oh my God, and talk? They're just like the right. You see, the left is set up too. You know, because there's a lot of good stuff that's in the left, but it's so overclouded by their preoccupation with homosexuality and LGBT and all that kind of shit that the average person's just not going to go along with it. He may give it lip service and say, well, that's okay if two people love each other and get married, you know. But behind the scenes, subconsciously, he's saying, what a bunch of assholes, you know. So the left wing is occupied, the right wing is occupied, So we need something different. It needs to be a revolutionary party or movement of some type that probably goes back to basic National Socialism.
How about anarchism?
Well, I mean, you know, the there's a lot of.
I'm leery of any big government, because big governments, even if they're installed on the right principles, can easily turn against you because they have the power.
Well, you would like big anarchy?
Well, I'm leery of all big governments. I don't trust it.
Well, the problem we have is the way people are constructed and the herd instinct, there's always going to be bigger governments. I'm not saying it has to be a federal government, which is a bad move, but on a state level, there's always going to be some kind of government. Yes.
You have to lose power for about 3 minutes.
Oh, man. I got a goddamn power guy here. He's going to change my meter, and he's going to turn all the power off for 3 minutes. Okay, we're going to have to stop the show. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This girls, but we lost Sling Blade. He must have had to go to work or something. So anyhow, that was something else. Right in the middle of the show comes the NIPSCO, Northern Indiana Public Service guy, to change out the meter. And so I had to shut everything down. I had to run around and shut the computers down because I didn't want a surge to come about and like that. But now we're back on the air. But it was almost worth it because I got some interesting information from this fellow, a nice-looking young white man. And I said, well, I'm not too excited about changing these out. Is there any, is it mandatory? He said, well, it really is. And I said, he said, but don't worry. He says, basically what this is, and he took it apart and showed me, was it's almost like a cell phone mechanism built into the meter, simply so a guy can drive by and read your meter without getting out. And I said, well, that probably saves quite a bit of labor. He said, yeah, but he says, the big problem was, and he has, of course, being an employee that don't want to lose his job. A lot of white people speak in code. You know that. I know that. They speak in code. We know what they're talking about. He said, well, it's the point where it was too dicey to read meters up in Gary and East Chicago and those areas of the state, wink, wink, even though he didn't have to wink. So here's another place where just having the parasite black race around, and of course now too a bunch of brown parasites too, is costing you time, costing you money, costing the electric company money, because of the high crime rates in those areas that meter guys don't want to get out of their car and go in there and read the meters. So that's something you might share with your friends, because they're going to be doing this all over the country, and they're not going to, of course, officially admit one of the big reasons for it is to protect their personnel from savage niggers and MS-13. So anyhow, it's interesting conversation. And to be perfectly honest, I don't like some guy, allegedly a meter man, we don't know for sure. Anybody can go out and rent buy a uniform and put a decal on their truck and come in and get right close into you. I mean, that power meter is within a foot or two of our kitchen window, which is usually open to get fresh air in there, and it could be any kind of assassin come in through there, and you wouldn't think much about it. You think it's the meter man. So I'm willing to do the trade-off. You get your convenience for your meter readers, and I get better security because of it. So anyhow, that's one way of looking at it. If I, you know, if you really wanted to get somebody, that would be a perfect way to do it. Just put a decal on your truck and get a power company uniform and a little 9mm with a silencer, and the guy wouldn't be expecting it. Just come around your house and look through the window and shoot your ass. Anyhow, that's the way it looks to me. It's amazing that a lot more people haven't been assassinated that way, because it seems to me that that would be a perfect way of doing it, and then drive off in a so-called company truck, and if they didn't see your face and get an ID, I mean, you know, it'd be pretty hard to catch a person like that. Well, I see a 16-year-old event is opening up at a trial in Las Vegas. Two or three skinheads, racial skinheads, charged with the neutralizing of anti-Nazi skinheads or anti-racist skinheads. Yeah, well, that war has been going on. There hasn't been that many victims, but the point is that several white skinheads have been murdered, like in Portland, Oregon, and so forth. So there hasn't been that many that I know of anti-racist or anti-racist action skinheads that have been hurt or killed. But anyhow, they evidently took them out in the desert and did away with them. That was 16 years ago. It's finally gone to court. One of the guys that they killed was a black anti-racist action skinhead. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on this. You can see it on the web. But as usual, one of these people has agreed to testify against the other two, which is quite normal on all sides in political and criminal trials and so forth. So anyhow, it happened, it's done, it's over. Maybe a little bit of payback for all those racial skins that have been murdered, and the cops haven't really worked very hard at finding out who their killers were. Maybe there's some balancing out here. As far as I'm concerned, the anti-racist action skinheads have always just been a bunch of pimple-faced stick skins running around playing Mao Zedong. I've never concerned myself with them. But they do every once in a while get up enough nerve to attack some nationalist or so-called patriotic individual or meeting, like they did over in Illinois here two or three years ago. But I think that it's a waste of time to do much concentration on these people unless they get in your face. They're not going anyplace. They're strictly reacting off of the racial struggle. And so to waste your time or risk going to jail for a long time or prison, I wouldn't let that happen. I wouldn't get involved with heavy action with these people. But you need to keep an eye on them. Just make sure, because anybody can kill anybody if they decide they want to. Of course, Morris Dees and the ADL and all that ilk, they'll always promote a story like this to the high heavens, but never, never when it's blacks or Mexicans or whoever it is torturing and murdering white people. I mean, they'd be more believable once in a while if they'd come to the aid of a white person who's been brutalized and tortured. But anyhow, it makes it very plain what their mentality is. It's got nothing to do with fairness and toleration. It has to do with promoting non-whites over whites. Simple as that. Non-whites can do no wrong. Whites always do wrong. I mean, look at this thing in Illinois. This is crazy, man. You got to turn off the radio or TV to get away from it. Well, somebody sent me a joke here. Question, what's the difference between Hitler and Muhammad and Catholic priests and rabbis? Answer, Hitler never raped a 9-year-old girl. Muhammad did, and many priests and rabbis have. Well. This week it was announced that the CDC may have altered studies claiming there is no link between autism and MMR vaccines, thanks to a whistleblower who came forward this week with his identity, William Thompson, PhD. Dr. Thompson has firsthand knowledge of the alleged cover-up. How about that? And let's see, what is our next story here? NSA shares hundreds of billions of records with government agencies. Comment on this by Elizabeth Goitine. To me, this is extremely troublesome, said Elizabeth Goitine, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. The myth that metadata is just a bunch of numbers and is not as revealing as actual communications content was exploded long ago. This is a trove of incredibly sensitive information, unquote. So everybody's listening to everybody. Governments listen to everybody. Yeah, privacy, encryption, all that out the window. It's all gone, baby. 1984 is officially here, man. Well, down in West Palm Beach, Florida, they planned an ISIS downtown condos in West Palm Beach. They're not going to be called ISIS anymore. Now the development, which is under construction, will be known as 333 Downtown, which is not a scary name. It's a confusing name, however. And the copy editor in me wants to change it to 333 Downtown. But maybe that's not okay either, because it refers to half of the Antichrist. Or do they just think it's hip to write things in a weird way? Well, I see that Brother Al Sharpton gave a big speech out there at the funeral for the young, brilliant, black thief. No, anyhow. Oh, I should have strangled that bastard when I had the chance, when I was sitting right next to him, within arm's length on the stage at the Apollo Theater. And I told him to his face, and I've told you this before, I said, you're a four-fushing, corrupt, phony bastard. I told that right to his face, and he wouldn't do it. He didn't move an inch. He didn't raise an arm. I said, we all know what a phony bastard you are. But somebody seems to have more power than even the Jews, because he's said some nasty things about Jews and even advocated a riot to kill a Jew shop owner in New York. So somebody's behind him. Somebody pushed him. He's the worst commentator I've ever seen on MSNBC. Outside of Wolf Blitzer, he's almost as bad. But they have a guaranteed job for some reason. It's amazing. Boy, am I going to have fun on this vacation. I got a little letter here in the local paper last night. In fact, I'm so interested in the local paper, I forgot to bring it into the house till this morning. And it's a letter which mentions moi. Church and State is the title. A year or so ago, I offered $1,000 to anyone who could show me where the Constitution of the U.S. contains a separation of church and state. It isn't there. Israel is not a religious state. Well, if it's not a religious state, sir, how can they lay claim to the land at all? The Jews, like the Indians, Russians, Chinese, and so on, are a distinct group of people. Are they? Are you kidding? They come from all different races. Are you a distinct group of people? There are dozens of churches of all kinds in Israel. Catholics, Protestants, many mosques for the 1.5 million Muslims who live in Israel. Well, of course, because it's all Jewish-based. Every one of those churches is Jew-based. Siren blows several times daily calling Muslims and Palestinians to worship. They all have prayer rugs. They kneel on their face and face Mecca. There are also synagogues for devout Jews. Well, those Muslims used to face a different direction. I forget how that story goes, but anyhow, I think they used to face Jerusalem. You will not find this diversity in any of the countries in the Middle East. Who cares about diversity, sir? I don't. In fact, we've got too much diversity now. When the U.S. put 35,000 troops in Saudi Arabia to protect them from Saddam Hussein, they were forbidden from bringing any Bible into the country lest it insult Muhammad. No, I would say lest it insult their intelligence. The stated goal of Muslim leaders is to kill Jews and Christians and to wipe Israel off the map. Well, there are millions of Muslims. I don't think they ever lined them up and put a vote in a box on this thing. We send over 1 billion. Well, you know, Christians have done their share of killing too, sir. I mean, you know, do we forget about all that? We send over $1 billion to Egypt every year and countless millions to other Arab countries. They don't seem grateful. Well, that's because the people down at the bottom don't get the money, just the big shots at the top. Of course, the bulk of the population is not grateful because they didn't get anything. There are several church groups such as La Si of South Bend, John Hagee, and others who sponsor 8 to 10 hour tours of Israel, food and lodging all paid for. The total cost is $3,000 to $4,000. Yeah, John Hagee is one of the most miserable bastard preachers and the biggest Christian Zionist in the country, probably as far as I know. Israel gave him a giant aircraft fitted out with all the luxuries of home for his service to Israel. Now we get to the meat of this thing. I am offering to pay the entire bill for Mr. Tom Metzger so he can tour this controversial country at my expense. He can visit with many Palestinians living in Israel. Visit Ramallah, where Arafat is buried. First-hand experience is the best way to learn. No ham sandwiches. All he has to do is pick the group, all advertised on various church networks, and notify the Times Union, and I will pay for everything, plus $500 spending money. I doubt if many people would turn such a vacation down. Yes, I've sent thousands of dollars to Jewish groups to get Jews back to their ancient homeland. Most of those Jews are not Semitic at all. They're not Semites. They come from Russia and Poland all over the place. They've got no connection to the lost tribes. I am well into my 91st year of life. I'll be waiting for an answer. You know what? I think I'm going to take him up on it. I can use a vacation. What do you people think? Do you think I'm safe, or do you think the Mossad would grab me and throw me in the hole someplace? That's the question. You can answer for me. Send me an email. Let me know. Yeah, terrible Tommy's out. And too bad we missed. Well, at least we got 46 minutes of haggling from Sling Blade. He haggles me all the time. Anyhow, I'll be back tomorrow on Wotan's Day. That's right. And hopefully I won't. We had the power man to change the meter here at the same time. And the trash man came, and the dogs go crazy and bark, and all at once, right in the middle of the show. I'm telling you, man, this is not like Hollywood. This is not like New York City, where Rush Scumbaugh and the boys are in these well-guarded and plush studios. This is down home like Hee-Haw, man. We got chickens and the raptors here. That's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, if Thor or Wotan wills it. In the meantime, 14-5, and shut up, and I'm going to play you something. You can have the kids leave the room if you want. This is a song I sang karaoke way back in 1995, in February. That's 19 years ago, according to my Frank Silva atomic clock. 19 years ago I sang this song, and that must have not been too long after I started singing karaoke. Anyhow, I'm going to punish you with that right now.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. Everyone he meets is playing a stranger. When every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Beware the pretty faces that you find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you'll give yourself away. I saw you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Swinging on a Riviera one day, then laying in a Bombay alley next day. Ah, don't let the wrong words slip while kissing persuasively. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name.
He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him, whispered, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were seven Spanish angels and the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home. She reached down and picked a gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, Father, please forgive me, I can't make it without my man. and she knew the gun was empty, and she knew she couldn't win. But her final prayer was answered when a rifle fired again. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun.
In case you're interested, that was at Luigi Franco's Karaoke Club. I think it was Escondido, California, 19 years ago. And we're still trucking.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio Network.